Welcome back. Today we will look at the second part of chapter 4 in the topic of IT compliance, and which is standards and specifications. We will cover in this part SCI capability maturity model integration, also known as SCI CMM, Six Sigma, SCI people capability maturity model, which is known as PCMM. And obviously at the end of the chapter we have some self-assessment questions for yourself. So we start today with our seventh topic on CMMI, which is SCI capability maturity model integration. Now, what is SCI? SCI is a software engineering institute, and this institute works very closely with defense and government organizations along with industry. And it has tie up with Carnegie Mellon University in US, so therefore with academia. And the objective of this institute is constantly keep improving software systems. The vision, as it rightly says, is to bring about engineering discipline to the development and maintenance of software products. The core purpose of this standard is to help IT organizations to improve their software engineering capabilities and develop the right software, which means it should meet the customer's expectation requirements. The software should be work as it is meant to work, which is defect free, and most importantly, it should be developed and delivered within budget and on time, and not one project but all projects every time. That is the real purpose of this model, the maturity model. And companies who exhibit high level or level 5 of this model can deliver this product, and hence the objectives, the purpose, and hence are in demand with the customers. CMMI was developed by a group of experts from industry, government, and SCI. They used a framework for appraising the process maturity of the organization. So they looked into the processes of software development and accordingly build a framework around it. It is very generalized to address areas such as development of hardware products, delivery of all kinds of services, and the acquisition of products and services. That means when you're buying products and services, what are the standards that you must follow, the framework that you must follow, so that you get the product and services which meets your requirement. CMM version 1.3, so obviously there was 1.2, 1.1, and now 1.3, which is the latest one, released in somewhere close to 2013, comprises of models. It also lists down the appraisal methods and training for all three areas of interest called the constellation. What is a constellation has been explained. The constellation is a particular collection of process areas specifically chosen to improve a given business need. So depending on the need of the business, a process area is defined, and from the process area all the processes are laid down, and that's how they are called constellations. So there are three constellations, which is one for product and service development, which is CMMI for development, two CMMI for services, which is for service establishment, management, and delivery, and third is CMMI for acquisition, which is product and service acquisition. So three constellations, three areas of interest: CMMI for development, CMMI for services, and CMMI for acquisition. What is a CMMI? Again, little granular. It's a model that describes software development practices critical to success. And what is critical to success is ability of a process, the development practice, to meet the customer's requirement. It should function the way they want, defect free, within time and within budget, and on a consistent basis. It's a descriptive model. That means it explains what should be done. It is not a prescriptive one, so it doesn't tell you you have to do this way. It leaves the this way to the practitioners or implementers of this model. It just describes what should be done so that you could achieve the core objective of this model, which is to meet the customer expectation. Capability indicates the range of results that can be expected. So the model says what is your capability, and at each level of capability, it actually predicts the range of results that can be expected if you follow this process area. The maturity indicates a higher or lower degree of capability. So there is a capability and there's a maturity. We'll explore this in depth as we go along. But right now it's important to understand there is a distinction between capability and maturity. High capability indicates greater predictability and low variation. The three critical dimensions that any organization must focus on, and we all are very clear about it, is the people, the procedure and the methods. And what are the tools and equipment that people can use, procedures can equip themselves, and methods that will be implemented on these tools and equipments. They are the major determinants of product cost, schedule and quality. Quality problems results in rework. So what is the downside of we not adhering to quality or not meeting the quality standards? It leads to rework. So obviously there is a time overlap and a cost overlap. Incorrect functions. That means on starting of the car should start, and when you put the ignition on, maybe the brake takes place. Obviously that's not what is expected. And because it is incorrect function, lot of rework, it also leads to customer complaints and dissatisfaction. And in today's time, or it has always been the case, if the customer is not happy with you and the complaints are huge, then slowly but surely you are going in the wrong direction, and that will lead to loss of business. We don't want that. Now what happens is a mature organizations define the processes to ensure all these things are avoided, and therefore the quality of the product can be quantitatively assessed using statistics, they can say. So we are not people dependent or descriptive dependent, and estimating, scheduling or budgeting is based on metrics of past historical data. That means some trends, some learnings are carried forward. What has worked in past is also used. What has not worked in past, the lessons from that defect is carried forward in the next projects and the projects after that, so that you don't repeat it, and therefore improve your capability and therefore your maturity. So the quality leverage points among people, process and technology, this focuses more on the process, CMMI. So therefore you see the sharper focus coming on the process level. So SEI has taken the process management premise that the quality of system or product is highly influenced by the quality of process used to develop and maintain it. So it very clearly says that more than people centricity is the process centricity which is very important for a model to deliver. And therefore CMMI focuses on the process, and they have looked at processes in four areas. One is in the area of project management, second in the area of engineering, third organization as a whole, what process are you following, and support activities. If you have to support the product or the project, what are the kind of support activity processes that you have in place to manage it. Just getting little granular, further granular, CMMI consists of 24 process areas and 460 practices. Excuse me. Now what is the process area? Process area, as we saw before, is a cluster of related practices in an area that when performed collectively satisfy a set of goals considered important for making significant improvement in that area. So you have an area of achievement which is an outcome of some goal. To achieve that area, achieve the objectives of the, to reach the goal, you in that area you list down all the processes that you need to follow, and if you implement all the processes in that process area, you will improve in that area and therefore reach the goal in a much better way. And to achieve all the processes, you have to practice that process. Therefore, practices are actions to be performed to achieve the goals of a process area. CMMI has a common structure to describe each of these areas, and CMMI practices can improve existing work practices, but it does not define them. It does not define the practices, but it has a framework which can be used to improve upon it. So as I had discussed some time back, that we look into maturity and capability distinction in little more detail. Here we are. So a maturity level is what one can be appraised to and rated when the organization uses the stage representation of the CMMI. So there is a staged representation and there is a continuous representation of CMMI. the maturity, and we'll look into it in depth as we go along in the further slides. So in the staged area, when an organization can be appraised on what is a staged area representation of CMMI, it can give a maturity level. And in CMMI, there are 5 maturity levels. While a capability level is what one can be appraised and rated when the organization uses the continuous representation. So in capability level, there are 6 capability levels. And the difference, one of the highlights of capability level, it's cumulative. That means if you are level 3, that means all the capability level of 0, 1 and 2, obviously 0 is no capability, 1 and 2 is encompasses in the 6, in the 3. So you are not only good at 1, 2 but and 3, and therefore it is called cumulative. While in maturity levels, if you have reached level 4, it's not cumulative, but level 4 also has elements of 1, 2 and 3, and therefore in that sense the distinction is very minor, but it's important to understand that this is cumulative while this is treated at a particular level. So as I said, we'll go into stage and continuous. There are 2 types of representations. So what is a stage representation? It's a group processes where it is broken into 5 maturity level, and it is used to achieve CMM level rating. So when you are, whether you are as an organization a CMM level 1, level 2 or level 5 companies assessed, and it focuses on overall maturity as measured by maturity level. So at each maturity level there is a performance measurement, and depending on the measurement you are assessed. In a continuous representation, the defined capability level is within each profile. It focuses on process area capability as a measure and not as the maturity of that level. But as you go along, you become more and more capable, you improve the capability levels, you will find that you are also improving the maturity levels. A graphical representation of a staged representation of maturity levels. So you have 3 process areas. Each process area has a specific goals resulting into specific practices, but it is also linked to a business, which is a generic goal, and this generic goal has common features, and it moves into that, and because of that you develop a generic practices, or what we also organization of the practices. So that means one practice which is working for one area is then taken up at a higher level, at an organization level, and therefore the benefit of that practices is spread across the entire organization. While a continuous representation is that you have 3 process areas, and each process areas has both specific goal and generic goal, and specific goal leads to specific practices. Generic goals will lead to generic practices, and you could have capability levels spanning across it. So if you are good here, doesn't mean you are good there. So there's a slight difference in the way it has to be looked into, and that's what it is. So to sum it up, a stage representation uses the maturity levels to characterize the overall state of organization process relative to the model as a whole. So there is a model, and you are assessed against that model, and accordingly you are given a level rating if you match to the model. In continuous representation, uses the capability levels to characterize the state of organization process related to an individual process area. To achieve an individual process area, in some process area you could be highly capable, in some process area you may not be so much capable. But in maturity level, it is at organization level. So if you are level 4, it means something, as we will discuss that going forward in the further slides. And therefore, as an organization where you are, it is clearly defining. And levels for both representations are depicted in the table in the next slide. So for continuous representation, capability level and maturity level, which is stage representation, level 0 is not applicable in maturity level. So the start of maturity level clearly says that all organizations starts at 0 before they are being assessed. While the capability level, there is a level called incomplete. So you are not doing the process area fully, you are doing 50%, 70% and things like that. Level 1, and the capability level, you move from performed, managed, defined, then you quantitatively manage it, and then you optimize your process. at the maturity level, you have the initial defined process, then you manage it, you fine tune the definition. Then if you realize at this level, you are both doing quantitatively manage, and then so level 4, level 5, whether in capability or maturity, you are saying that it has reached a level where you can now start managing the process either at a capability level or maturity level using statistics, and again keep optimizing, learning from what is happening today and what has happened in the past. So again, a different way to look at it graphically. Improvement is using the capability levels. The process areas are organized by process area categories. In this case, the process areas are organized by the maturity level. Again, capability levels are used to organize generic practices. Common features are used to organize generic practices. All generic practices are included in each process area. Only level 2 and level 3 generic practices are included, because in capability model at level 4 you start defining it, having a deviation matrix in place to take it away from generic practice into specific practices. Comparison across organization possible, since equivalent staging allows a determination of a maturity level of organization achieved. There is no equivalence mechanism, because at level 4, level 5, you can have deviation, variations, and different organization can have a different variation mechanism. Therefore, there is no equivalence to compare, while at the capability levels, there is an equivalence to compare. So, how do we achieve the desired result? So, obviously, you start with where I am today, which is your current state. So, know your current capability maturity level. Identify where you want to go, that is define your desired state, and understand description of next level, and then work towards reducing the gap from where you are to where you want to go till a day it comes where you are where you want to go. So that's how it's a methodology to achieve the desired result. So as I said, in the maturity levels, which is a stage representation, you have 5 maturity levels. So at each maturity level, you have a predefined set of process areas. So the level defines what is the process area it wants to look at, and they are measured by achievement of the specific and generic goals that apply to each set of predefined set of process areas. So in each process area, you will have generic goals that it must adhere to and specific goals, and that is what is measured. Breaking this 5 maturity levels little more in detail. So you have level 1, which is initial. As I said, in stage representation or maturity level, there is no level 0. However, in capability, there is a level 0. So we start with level 1, which is the initial maturity level. Here it is said that if you are at level 1, that means your processes are very person dependent, therefore ad hoc and chaotic, and they don't have a stable environment. For each project or each day, you could change the process. So very ad hoc, chaotic. That's level 1, and that's the initial level. At level 2, you come into what is known as managed, where you're saying that you have specific and generic goals of maturity level 2 process area. So in the process area, you're defining it, and there is a way of how it is being managed, and that is consistent across all across the organization to achieve the level 2, which is at least you're managing the process, you have defined the process. Although it should not be treated, because it's called managed and the third level is called defined, we should not say that if it is defined here, then what is it? So obviously where you are and where you want to go, when you list that out, it is also a definition of sort. But at the maturity level, you should not treat it as defined. Maturity level 3 is defined, where it is going into further levels, specific goals and details. And level 3, if you have put that in place, you are following it, then it is defined. At level 4, which is quantitatively managed, you start applying statistics and numbers on the processes and start looking at processes from the point of statistics around it. So whether you are meeting your goal 100% of the time, 90% of the time, 80% of the time, why the deviation of 10%, 20%, are you meeting the cost objectives, or are you overspending, underspending? If you're underspending, why you're underspending? So it doesn't look at the negative side only, it looks at the positive side also, so that all the learnings can be taken forward. And the moment you start using these learnings to take it forward, you move from level 4 to level 5, which is optimizing. So you're optimizing all your resources to achieve the goal of the organization and to meet the customer expectations. So you cannot move from level 1 to level 4. That means you cannot skip level. You have to go through a journey when you're getting assessed, right from level 1 to level 5, and 5 is the maximum level that you can. And the most important thing is the framework is designed in such a way that each level helps you to move to the next level. So you cannot bypass, as I said before, but it's a foundation to reach the next level. Therefore, this journey has to go from 1, 2, 3, 4 and finally reach at 5. This is the graphical representation. So you have level 1, which is initial, 2 managed, 3 defined, 4 quantitatively managed, and 5 you start optimizing it. Another way to look at it, so there is no area, then you set up certain areas. Some of the example is how will you measure your processes, how will you look at your agreements, supplier agreement management, work planning. In level 3, you start looking at project management, capacity and availability management as process areas in which you have to assess. At level 4, you move into organizational process performance, so not project performance only, but organization process performance and organization project performance, or the work project. At 5, you say how do you do the defect prevention, defect analysis and things like that. So obviously your productivity and quality improves as you go from 1 to 5, and your time to market and the risk come down the higher you are. Now let's, so we've looked at capability management level. Now let's look at the process. So you have a continuous representation. In the continuous representation, it is at 6 levels. We were looking at maturity levels, and now look at the capability levels. So capability levels are 6 levels, and so what happens is in the CMMI maturity side, it consists of predefined set of process areas, and the maturity levels are measured by achievement of specific and generic goals that looks into it. In capability also the same thing, it looks at a predefined set of process area and how good are you in that process areas. Capability level 0, as I said, maturity there is no level 0, but here you have level 0, which is an incomplete process. It is a process, obviously incomplete process is a process that is either not performed or partially performed, and one or more specific goals or process areas are not satisfied and no generic goal exists. So you live for the day, you just do something to achieve certain set of things, and then it's forgotten, lost. So that's where you are if you are treated as capability level 0. If you move to capability level 1, which is your performing, then level is a process that is expected to perform of all capability level specific and generic practices. So practices are laid down and people will follow them, then you are at level 1. Level 2 is managed. So all processes that is planned, then performed, monitored and controlled for individual project, group of standalone processes to achieve a common or a given purpose. Level 3 defined. So defined processes are much better than managed. You can start looking at little prediction. So you are clearly defining it, following it, using it, that you will achieve the goal, not achieve the goal, with what success ratio you will achieve it, confidence levels and things like that come here. And then little more statistics starts creeping up when you are assessed as capability level 4. Obviously it's much more statistics here, and then it establishes baseline. So it says if I do certain this activity in this way continuously, then with 95% accuracy I will always achieve this goal or something like that. So you set up your baselines, you create models for it and measurements for process performance. So here you can also start looking at deviating and setting up your own process performance, not very much in capability, but definitely in maturity models you can do that. optimizing. So now you are measuring it, you're executing it, you're following it. Now it's time to take this learning to next level. So you keep improving upon it, which is what level 5 says. So you have a set of framework, a processes that helps you to take all the learnings of currently held work that you're doing and use that learning for further projects. So it works like that. So no generic goals. You have practices. Level 2 practices is where you manage, you define, use statistics, and then you optimize. And only the capability starts moving up. The category in the process area, in the continuous representation in terms of capability levels, is there in project management. So it starts looking whether you are doing project planning, monitoring and control, do you have supplier agreement management, IPPD, which is integrated project management, supplier management integrated, teaming, how do you take people, how do you team it up, risk management, and then support area category, you have configuration, decision analysis and resolution, root cause analysis and things like that. In engineering, it gets into requirement management, requirement development, technical solution, integration, verification, validation. In process, it's fully at an organization level. So what is the organization focus? What are they defined? Are they giving enough training and things like that? So this what we've understood is the model, the continuous one and the staged one. So maturity and capability models by SEI. People who want to be assessed, I mean, they want to show the world that they have this capability level or this maturity level, they have to be assessed for competence for using the CMMI framework. The assessment is also known as CMMI appraisal. So there is a continuous appraisal. There are assessment firms that follow the standard CMMI appraisal method for process improvement method. So they follow it. The SEI does not provide certification on successful completion of CMMI assessment. It just puts the name on the SEI website. So if you are there on the SEI website along with the level, you know that this organization adheres to that level. With this, that was the end of SEI capability maturity model integration, also known as CMMI. Now we'll delve into another model, which is Six Sigma. So Six Sigma is a Greek symbol used in statistics to represent standard deviation. And standard deviation from what? What is the base of deviation? It's from the mean value. It's an indicator of degree of variation in a set of processes. So let's say you have a process and 100 times you have to keep doing that process. So let's say a toss of a coin, head and tails, you have to do 100 times. What is the mean? So either you will get 50% has to be mean, you can get 50% head or 50% tails. So you have a peculiar style of putting the coin and tossing it up. You start measuring it, you will find how many times you've got head and tail and what is the probability of that repeating over a period of time. The more data that you collect, the more probability that if you follow the same process of putting the heads up and then tossing it in the same way, the more probability that the heads will come out increases, and you can validate it using Six Sigma which is standard deviation. So it also tells you how far a given process deviates from perfection. So you could set up a process saying if I do this work in this manner and in this flow, then I will take 1 hour to perform the work, and you set that as a baseline, and then you implement this process with other people, and you will find a reading that someone able to do at 50 minutes, someone takes 70 minutes, someone also takes 80 minutes. You can start measuring it, and then so you are saying if I am perfect at 60 minutes, then there are people who are better than me at 50 minutes and there are people who are worse than me at 60 minutes. How much worse they are or how much better they are, should I change the perfection level from 60 to 50 and then measure again? And all this Sigma does the measurement. So for an organization which says higher Sigma capability, it shows that their process is much, much better. And so a lot of statistic term, it's the term Sigma is used to designate a distribution or spread about the mean, which is an average of any process or procedure. So you will have to look into some reading on what is averages and what is a deviation. We will try to cover some of it as we go along, but this is something that you will have to open your books and read a little bit, because it is part of statistics. But Six Sigma, without knowing those statistics, you may not be able to implement. But the objective of this session is not to teach you Six Sigma, but the overall framework of Six Sigma and how it can be used to improve the quality of the processes. So as I said, this is not a statistic class, but we will still, what is required to understand, we will try to explain it. So mean is one big thing that we need to understand. Standard deviation and variance, these are three big terms that are always used in Six Sigma. So we will try to understand that. So mean is an average of set of value. So if I add the scores of the cricketer, let's say Rohit Sharma, for last 5 innings and divide it by 5, I will in cricket parlance, what I will come to know is the average. Of course, let's say he gets out all 5 times. So let's not get into complexity of not out kind of thing. But let's say he gets out at all 5 times, then I get something known as average. In statistics, that same average can also be called as mean at a very, very high level. Of course, there is a difference between average and mean, but we will not get into too much technicalities. So let's say an average is treated as mean, and I hope with that you will understand what is a mean. So let's treat mean as an average. And so you've arrived at an average. Now on the 6th inning, if he does better than average, we come to know, then if the average was 55 and he scores 75, then the better or deviation is 20 runs. And if he scored 35, or let's say 45, not to confuse, then he's done deviation on a negative side by 10. So on the 6th inning, if he scores 75 and his average is 55, then he's done a positive 20 deviation. And if he scores 45 in the 7th innings, then he's done a negative deviation of 10. We are not counting the 6th inning for calculating the mean. That is the basic assumption in this example. And if you divide the sum of squares of each deviation of the mean by the number of item, it gives variation. So obviously it's very little technical, but if the deviation you start measuring and you divide the sum of squares, so you add up the squares and then you divide it, you get variation in data. And out of the variation, you come to know standard deviation. So how much variation will happen in 8 innings, 10 innings, 15 innings. You come to a stage where you say, out of 40 games that he has played, this is his average. So 41st, what he can do? Will he come close to mean, or will he be away from mean, and by how much? And then you start understanding, why is he gone away from the mean, either on the positive side or the negative side. So on the negative side, you find out his weaknesses and help him to improve it. On the positive side, you want him to continue using that positive, so that your mean also moves up as you go along. And that is the whole purpose of Six Sigma, which is quality, 100% quality achievement at all points of time. And then variance is, so you would realize how much difference is there from the mean. So objective is, you start measuring the data. From the data, how much time you have measured, you arrive at a mean. From a mean, you arrive at a deviation. And why the deviation, variation, you come to know, and standard deviation of it. And from there, you look at variance as a concept and realize why variance is taking place, and help in the long run to reduce the variances is to improve the mean. So if you improve the mean and the further learnings helps you to achieve means or beyond means little bit on the positive side, then it helps in improving the processes. For it to work, the data that should be there is what we call a normal distribution. So we arrive at two numbers and say, if it is normal environment. So suppose in the cricketer's case, in Rohit Sharma's case, if it was raining very badly or the ball was swinging at 45 degrees, then it is not a normal distribution, because he could get out very fast or be lucky, get some edges and score more than his averages. But that's not an indication of his strength or batting ability. Here it is where it's not a normal situation. Some of these data you actually keep out of normal distribution, so that you don't skew the mean and you don't take ad hoc cases in calculation of means. Therefore, normal distribution is, in normal circumstances, what would have taken place, that measurement is taken place. Now, bell curve, using the normal distribution, you design what is a bell curve. We look into the next slide how the bell curve looks like. And the shape of the graph created is like a bell. That's why it's called the bell curve. Yeah, and this we have anyway looked into. Okay, so one sigma, that means on either side of mean any deviation takes place, that means 68% of the measurements will fall either on this side or this side of one sigma. That is the difference from the mean. That's called one sigma. And if you look at three sigmas, that means three this side, this side. So 99.74% of the all outcomes will fall into that bracket. Nothing will move outside that except 0.25. And if you look at six sigma, then it's 99 point something. This is how a bell curve looks like. So this is the mean, this mid level. This is one sigma. As I said, 68.2% of the data will fall if you are a one sigma company. Two sigma away from the mean, then you add 13.6 and 13.6 to it, and three sigma add further, which comes to 99.74%. That's how you have to look at it. The shape of the data collected is like a bell, hence this is known as bell curve. And the length of the bell curve depends on the standard deviation. The mean and the standard deviation determines the height and the width of the bell. So, Six Sigma is a set of techniques and tools for process improvement that we know. It's a methodology that provides business with tools to improve the capability of their business processes. So, it's a tool that needs to be used. And it is a process in which the word uses Six Sigma, in which 99.99966% of the product manufacturers are statistically expected to be free of defects, or in other words, the possibility of defects is 3.4 defect paths per million opportunities. So that means hardly any defect. It's only statistical defect that we can see.